The residents of Beirut have just woken up to day two in the catastrophic aftermath of the explosion that shattered the Lebanese capital. The blast has killed at least 130 people, but that number is rising as rescue teams continue to recover bodies from the rubble. Early investigations point towards negligence at Beirut Port, where it's believed a stockpile of ammonium nitrate exploded with enough force to rattle buildings 150 kilometres away. More than 5,000 people are injured. I'm joined now by Anthony Rahal. He lives in Beirut, where he works as a dentist and a food blogger, and he's our guest this evening. Thank you so much for your time, Anthony. It's mid-morning there. The explosion was less than 48 hours ago. What are residents in Beirut waking up to today? What's going on in the city right now?
We're waking up to a lot of glass. There's shattered glass everywhere. Every single house in Beirut has a broken glass. Every single house in Beirut is damaged in a way or another. What happened is beyond imaginable. What you're seeing on the news is probably 1% of what it is. What you're seeing on the news is nothing related to the reality. I can tell you about thousands of cars that are thrown away. I can tell you about hundreds of thousands of glass shattered everywhere. And now I'm driving around Beirut and going on my second day tour. Oh my goodness, you cannot imagine.
No, we've seen some of the pictures, and you're right, it's just incredibly devastating. How have you and your family been affected? I know you weren't physically hurt, but what about your loved ones?
Lebanon is a very small country with only 4 million inhabitants. We are a country of 10,452 kilometers. So Beirut is the center, and probably 60 to 70% of the population lives around it. And we're all related in a way or another. So every one of us had a lost friend or someone who went to the hospital. And when we're talking about 5,000 injuries, we're talking about hardcore injuries, considering that they're mainly glass related. The strength of the bomb is so immense that people were thrown away 3, 4, 5 meters. My house is around 20, 25 kilometers from Beirut. And I can tell you what we felt, how the house went moving like probably a meter is beyond anything one can imagine. Lebanon has lived 20 years of war. What happened in a click of a second is worth probably more than 60 years of war. It's like having one bomb in every single household all around Beirut, igniting at the same second.
Your dental practice has been badly damaged. Tell us how you felt when you first looked at it after that explosion.
I've been touring all around Beirut, showing Beirut and filming live feeds on YouTube for 2 hours. And I decided to continue to the office and continue that live feed and discover what happened. To tell you the truth, I crashed. And now I'm remembering what happened. And because it was way too hard to see. A practice, investment, work, hard work, going into ashes, and you have to rebuild again and again. Lebanon, Beirut, it was rebuilt 7 times, the history tells it, and now for the 8th time, and Lebanese for thousands of years are strong people rebuilding again and again. From a positive perspective, you say, we are a people that want to live and continue, and we will do it again. From another perspective, you say, we've had enough. We've had really enough. The last 7 months were very hard on a crisis basis, on an economical crisis basis, on a COVID-19 basis, and now comes that. You cannot imagine what people are feeling. I don't know how to explain it to you.
Yeah, I think I actually think you've painted a really strong picture for us. What are the main emotions among people in Beirut right now? Is it anger towards authorities? Is it sadness?
I'll tell you a story about Lebanese in general. The first night, it was anger. It was, everybody wants to leave. We cannot take it anymore. We're not understanding what's happening. We're so furious of our government and the authorities. We slept, woke up yesterday, thousands and thousands of youth, of students, of organizations. Everybody was on the floor. Now, if you walk the main street that is Jemaiza and Marm Khayil, the front line of the blast, everything is cleaned up. Everyone is on the floor. All the organizations are distributing food and water for everyone. You cannot imagine the unity. Everyone who was in despair the first night and saying, I've had enough, I want to take the first plane out, is now giving all his time and effort to work and support what's happening, because no one deserves that. And the unity that we're feeling as of yesterday is heartwarming. So definitely many youth are seeing that Lebanon is not the country they want to continue their life in, considering they have bigger hopes or bigger opportunities outside, and they're sad of what's happening. But again, all together, we want to rebuild our country. And now I'm arriving, facing me are 100 scouts, Lebanese scouts, that are preparing to go down and start helping the citizens. It's really heartwarming. It's amazing.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm really sorry about the situation in your country, in Beirut, and for you personally. But I do appreciate your time tonight.
We always say it's a protected land. It's a sacred land. And with all the problems we've had for hundreds of years, we're going to do it once again. And hopefully this time is going to be the last.
Anthony Rahel lives in Beirut, where he works as a dentist and a food blogger. A plane carrying 20 tons of health supplies from the World Health Organization has landed in Beirut to support the emergency effort there. It's the type of assistance Lebanon may need more of. The country's economy was already struggling very badly. I'm joined now by Nizar Ghanem. He's an economist in Beirut and the founder of a Lebanese think tank called Triangle. Nizar, thank you so much for your time. Before we look at the consequences of this explosion, let's start with what Lebanon's economy looked like before this even happened. How bad has it been, and how was it affecting Lebanese people?
Thank you, Patricia. Well, the Lebanese economy since the 1990s basically has been over-financialized. This financialization, so it's crashed a few months ago with a triple crisis, a currency crisis, a sovereign debt crisis, and a banking crisis. This meant that we are already in a recession. COVID-19 has contributed to a furthering of economic decline in Lebanon. For example, food prices have skyrocketed. Inflation is about 250%. This explosion has basically decimated the center town of Beirut, the center city, which has most of the vibrant economic class, if you want, the entrepreneurs, the import-export companies, the industrial base. This is a catastrophe in economic terms, especially that the people cannot basically access their savings because of the financial crisis. This means that recovery is going to take a long time. Lebanon basically is on its knees. It requires a real assistance, IMF assistance, to restructure the country, but also to recapitalize the banks to start a recovery process. So definitely we've had a real hit in these 2 days.
Now that we've had this disaster, which seems to have brought the capital to its knees, how do you think this event could further damage the economy?
I mean, the IMF projects that without this destruction, more than 50% will be under poverty line by the end of the year. The economy is definitely going to shrink even more. I would project more than 40-50%, which is a catastrophe for a size. Lebanon is a very small country, 5 million people. At the same time, the port, which is the lifeline of Lebanon currently, has been destroyed, which means that all the economic activities has to go to the northern bay, which is Tripoli's harbor, that has 20% capacity of Beirut's port. This means that, for example, if you want to import glass, we already don't have the money. If we want to import as well food, because also our wheat supplies have been destroyed in this blast that were stored in the port. It's funny because the nitrate, the ammonium nitrate that were the reason of the explosion, are the ones that we need the most to kickstart our agricultural sector. They blew up in our face. It's like a tragic comedy of Greek proportions.
Well, of course, and the blast was heard in Cyprus, 200 kilometres away. Incredible, just the scale of this thing. 80% of Lebanon's food is imported. 80%. 50%, as you say, could live under the poverty line. That explosion happened at that port, which serves as that entry point to so much of Lebanon's food. Are we seriously contemplating now a situation where people will live, potentially face even famine, that this is becoming an emergency situation?
Definitely. You know, it's kind of poetic justice. Lebanon, 100 years ago, witnessed a famine, a grand famine, where 30,000 people died. Already before this blast, economists were projecting the possibility of famine. Already WFP has been working on preparing emergency scenarios. I personally worked on many scenarios of economic meltdown that could lead to a possible famine. Our food security already, because of the over-financialization in the past, is severely weakened. And with this blast, of course, I mean, we definitely could go towards a famine by the end of the year if we don't get the help, especially in renovating the port and fixing actually the financial crisis, because the root of the problem eventually is we cannot afford to buy our food. We need to produce it. So there's a major market correction going on even before the blast.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Nizar Ghanem is an economist in Beirut and the founder of a Lebanese think tank called Triangle.